the Lord would feed our souls, something that will cause us to grow, to know Him better. If I was to title this, I would say alive and powerful. The scripture in Hebrews 4 and 12, I want to start there. It says of the Word of God, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." I want to examine that scripture just a little bit this morning and think about what it's telling us here. The Word of God that we love, that we cherish, that word quick, it's quick, it says. That means alive. It's not just a Word of God, but it's alive and it's powerful. It's maybe more powerful than we realize it is. But when God spoke His Word, the worlds came into existence. That's the power of the Word of God. And so this morning, as we look into the Lord's thoughts, we want to think about the Word of God is alive and powerful. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Now we have to think of that. What's that mean, a two-edged sword? But they knew what a two-edged sword was, because a lot of people carried swords at that time. And so they knew what a two-edged sword was. It's an instrument that cuts both ways. It cuts every which way when you're using it. And you know, this morning, I was thinking about something someone said last night, and this may be a little bit of not the best illustration, but it's the best one I can think of. So somebody was at our house last night, and they was telling us about going to a car wash, and they were in a little town going through Tennessee, I believe Memphis area, and they stopped and somebody come up, and it was kind of an awkward situation, and they were kind of stuttering, and he said, "This man's arm, his forearm, was as big as my leg." And so he was like, "I don't want you to wash my car. I want to wash my car. I'm fine. Well, this fella just kept going. And so he began to feel really uneasy. And finally he was like, "Okay, wash the car." Because he saw the strength that this man had. And this is a pretty strong fellow that was telling us, but he saw that. But you know, if that man, if there would have been an arm that size laying there, it would have meant nothing. But that arm had power and strength, and it was alive. And this morning, I say that because I want to jog our minds a little bit this morning. The Word of God is not just these words that we read. It's alive. That's what makes it powerful. It is alive. The same God that spoke and the worlds came into existence, folks, He wants His Word to live in you and me. He wants His Word to not just be an empty letter in our life. Well, I read it, I know I should do it. You know, the principles that God has laid down are amazing principles. People build businesses on these principles, and they work. They build relationships on the principles in the Bible, and it works. But you know what really works? When there's power and life in those words, actually living within our life. And so this morning, I want to ask the Lord this morning to empower us, every one of us, that our life can have not just a knowledge of right and wrong or of God or whatever we have, but that is different than just something laying there, that big arm. The arm of the Lord brought salvation to people. And it's alive. It can change your life and mine. It can change us from darkness to light. It can change us from living a life that we're ashamed of to living a glorious life in the Lord. And that's not something that we pride ourselves in. It's something that God gives us that's precious and powerful. And it works in our lives today. And so as we look into the Word of the Lord, we want to ask the Lord to reveal to us how this thing really works. How does that, we read the Word, but how does that Word become alive in our life? I want to look at John, the 15th chapter and the 4th verse. And examine this little illustration that the Lord gave. He said, the first verse says, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. If you drop down in the 4th verse, Jesus says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth me in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Don't we get a picture of something so very different than just reading this book? He's talking about a living relationship. And he said, if you abide in me, like this plant, like this vine and this branch, and if you abide in me and my words abide in you, now then we're talking about something. It's not just laying there. It's not just big and powerful, you know, but there's no life in it. There's no power in it. This is something that brings forth much fruit. That's where we live. That's the power of the true gospel. And this morning, I just want us to think about that. It's far more than just doing what the Bible says. We love those words. And they're so true, and the principles are so good and so wholesome. But folks, there's so much more than that. Because the Word itself, the Lord wants it to be alive. He said, if you abide in me, not just if my words are in you, not just if my words, you know my words, but if you abide in me, if you live in me, if you draw your strength from me, if you have a relationship with me, and I have my words living in you, then you know what? You'll ask what you will, and it'll be done for you. You know what? You'll bear, it's the Father's good will. It's His will that we bear much fruit. And so, when we come to looking at, Lord, I want to be more like you. How do we do that? Do we read the Word more? Do we study it more? Do we get more, hard on ourselves? And, you know, well, we try to work on ourselves, but really what we do is we get up close to the Lord and we start drawing from Him. Father in heaven, we need your help today. I need your strength in this battle. I know I'm no match for the enemy. Even though I know your words, I've read this, I know the words, but I need strength. I need power. And that's what the Lord wants His word to be in our life today. This is the message of the gospel this morning, that the Lord takes His word and they live in our lives. And then they have power and they bring forth fruit in our lives today. The Ephesians 3 and 20, folks, this gives us hope that nothing else could. Because the Word itself, Paul had the experience in his old life that the Word brought condemnation to him. That's all it did. It brought condemnation. It made him aware of what God was wanting him to do. And in that sense, it was very good. But without, he knew not how to do it. But you know what the Lord has brought? He's brought a fullness of life where he wants us to repent of our sins, to dwell in him, to abide, to live there. Not meet him there one time, but to dwell there. That's what that word abide means. It means to make your abode there, to live in that place. And so now then we read Ephesians 3 and 20 and listen to the promise that God gives us here. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. You know what it's saying here is, there is all of this available to us according to the power that works in our life. According to the hookup that we've got with the Lord. Without it, it's a letter. And we constantly fall into places that we're ashamed. With the Lord, he says here that he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. That's a lot, isn't it? It's a message. The gospel message, folks, is a message of something, hope from the Lord himself, where he's reaching out his arm to bring into our lives the fullness of the Lord in our lives, far more than just principles. Oh, we love these principles. You can build businesses on them. They work in business. You can build relationships on these principles. But I'll tell you when it really works. And that's when the life that's in the arm of the Lord reaches out to you and me and brings power and authority and strength. That arm is a strong arm. You know what this word means when it says exceeding abundantly? Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. That word means this in the Greek. You look it up. It says superabundant in quantity. Superabundant in quantity. How much there is. It means superior in quality. It means, by implication, excessive. There's a word here that says violently. Preeminence. Exceeding abundantly above. More abundantly. Advantage. Exceedingly. Very highly. This is all part of the Greek definition of this word. They're trying to draw a picture here, and it's used in different ways. Beyond measure. Superfluous. Vehemently. And so when we read that scripture and we see, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly, superfluously, way overboard, more than we can ask or think, unto him, he says, according to the power that worketh in us. You know, it can be to us a dead letter. We can read it and it can constantly be only condemnation, or it can be life and power. It can be something that we read it and we tell the Lord, Lord, I need this. I need more of this. I'm short right here. I need you. And you know what he does? We start seeking him. Maybe we fast and pray a little bit. Maybe we begin daily, Lord, I want to be a reflection of this word. And the Lord begins to send that grace into our life. So this morning, I just want to encourage us today, folks, the gospel message is a message that will take us from where we're at. And it don't matter who we are, or how intelligent we are or are not, or how learned we are or not. It'll take us from where we are, and that strong arm of the Lord will defy all the powers that Satan has. There isn't any hope for him as long as we have that from the Lord. So let's hook our lives up into him and allow him to work in us all that he wants to work. You know, the scripture tells us, and we are aware of this, 1 John 4:4, It says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If we can get a picture of the greatness of God and realize, you know what, if I'm failing or if I'm having troubles, it's not the greatness of God that's at a lack. It's not that his grace is just that he'll cover this 100 times. It's that his grace is so great that his arm extends to us with power and authority, exceedingly more than we can even ask or think of. This is true this morning. It's the word of the gospel to us. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I want to encourage us this morning. Count him greater. Count him more able than the powers of Satan to defeat us. Count him more able. Count him greater than the world around us. Count him greater than the temptations. Count him greater than that great foe that we see out in front of us. Count him able this morning. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 3 and 6. And you could have a message on every one of these scriptures alone. But I'll just draw this out for a moment here. Who also hath made us, 3 and 6, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Do you know this morning, the letter is very valuable. I don't think Paul is trying to do away with that at all. The commandments of the Lord, we will keep his commandments if we love him. But it comes through love, and it comes through a real experience with the Lord. And so, I want to read what Clark says to this. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. He says to this whole thing, it may be safely asserted that the Jews in no period of their history ever rested more in the letter of their law than the vast majority of Christians are doing in the letter of the gospel. Unto multitudes of Christians, Christ may truly say, you will not come unto me that you may have life. You know, the Lord wants us to come unto him, not just unto his commandments. He wants us to come unto him, and he wants us to know him, and that we might, he might be able to put his words in our heart, that he might be able to fill us. So I want to challenge every one of us this morning. The Lord longs to just fill our lives with himself. He longs to fill our lives with the fruits of the Spirit. Those are not things we can manufacture. Those are things that comes from that hookup with the Lord. That vine and that branch and knowing, it says there in that one verse, according to the power that worketh in you, didn't it say, or in us? That's the power of it. According to the power that works in our life. According to the relationship that we have with the Lord. That's how it works this morning. And so the Lord help us to let him do that. Let him give us power and authority. Let it not be that we are as the Jews were. They were serving a letter of the law, but knew nothing of the power. The letter is very important this morning. If we love him, we will keep his commandments. But you know, there's much more than that. And I hope, did everyone hear what I said, or did I read that too fast, Clarks? I want to get what he said, because I think it's that important. It may be safely asserted that the Jews, in no period of their history, ever rested more in the letter of their law than the vast majority of Christians are doing in the letter of the gospel. And I say that to say, people say, well, we just live by the Spirit. Folks, if the power of the Spirit is not there, and we have to say we only live by some grace that constantly forgives us for sins, then there is a power that the Lord wants to give us that's greater than that. He wants to come in our life in a deeper way, in a greater way. And He wants us to have life. Unto multitudes of Christians, Christ may truly say, this is Clark Still, you will not come unto me that you may have life. And so we come unto Him. And we abide in Him. And He writes His laws in our hearts. Isn't that better than just reading them? Saying, I've got to get this down. I've got to write this on my wrist. I've got to put it on my forehead. The Jews did that, didn't they? I've got to put it everywhere. I've got to put it on my clothes. It's got to be. And yet the Lord says, come unto me. I want to write it in your life. According to the power that worketh in us. According to that relationship, that depth of drawing from the Lord, our vine, our branch, the vine is the Lord, our branch drawing strength and grace and then fruit popping out and all of the, that's a work of the Lord this morning. And we want it to be a work of the Lord. I want to read a scripture or two that illustrates a little about this, because I have been in a quandary at times about what this scripture really, how it's meant. 1 Peter 4 and 12. Beloved, 1 Peter 4 and 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part He is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified. Now, it's not the easiest thing in the world to feel happy when people start reproaching you. It's pretty easy to feel a little bit resentful, isn't it? But what this is telling us, and this goes right along with another scripture, and we'll read that in a minute, that Jesus said, rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy. And I've always wondered at that. What did He mean? What did He mean by that? Rejoice and leap for joy when people are mistreating you. And you know what He's saying is, there is, let's finish this thought here on the 14th verse first. For if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part He is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified. You know, this morning, when the glory, the power of the Lord comes in our soul, it really doesn't matter what's going on around us. That's the truth. Peter rejoiced that he was able to suffer shame for the name of Christ. How did that happen? Because within him was something very powerful. The arm of the Lord was revealed to Peter in power and in strength. It was more than an arm. It was more than a word that he heard the Lord say, you rejoice in that day. That was more than that that Peter was going through in that prison. He was rejoicing because the grace of God was working in his heart at that time. I want to read one more time what Clark says about this. It's very, I'll just read a little bit. A lot of the manuscripts, at least 20 of many of them very, very important manuscripts. When they wrote this Bible and they translated it, there wasn't just something given to them and they translated off of that page. There was pages that they had from Syria, from Ethiopia, from Rome, from all over the place, and they examined all of those. They were all pretty much really close, very, very close, but a few words here and there. You know that 20 of them says this for that verse, for part of that verse. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of power and of God resteth upon you. It doesn't change the meaning of it any, but it illustrates to us a little more that the Lord has power. He has the Spirit of God and of power and of glory. He said, it resteth on you. And this morning, I know that we all have our battles and we have our trials. But I will tell you, I believe the Lord wants us to get a little closer to Him sometimes. He is glorified when we bear much fruit. That's when He's glorified. And when we bear much fruit, that's when our life is very connected with the Lord. His Spirit dwelling within us, and we receive of that. And He begins to work in us a work that changes our life. That changed Peter's life. We know the story how Peter stood up there and denied that he ever knew the Lord. And the Spirit of the Lord filled Peter. He goes right back 50 days later and preaches a powerful message to those people. And 3,000 got saved. That's the difference in the power of the Lord in our life. And we don't want to quit seeking the Lord until His power fills our life. Until it changes us for the rest of our life. And then as we abide in Him and we dwell in that place and we live there, then He is able to work in us. And I was going to read as well Luke 6:22 that we referred to. Luke 6:22-23. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil, for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy. Now, did the Lord really mean that? Did he really? I will tell you this. There has been times, and I hope you've experienced this too, but there has been times that I was experiencing the extreme. And the Lord so flowed His peace and His grace in my heart until, folks, I wouldn't want to experience those things again. But for that I received, I would be willing to on some of them. It was that sweet. It's something you remember. It's something that is life-changing. It's something that witnesses to people that there's more to this than another religion. This is the religion of God. This is the work of the Lord. This is His strong arm bringing salvation to all people. We have something to tell people. This brother that was talking to this Muslim man, brother, I hope you go tell them the Lord's got a great and a strong arm. And He's able. He's able. Count Him able. He is able to give you what you need. He's able to save your soul and give you peace inside. He's able to fit you for eternity so that you can meet God with peace. Every one of us, the Lord's able to do that. Let's count Him able in our lives. You counting Him able this morning? Or are we reading the Word a little here and there and wishing we could live that Word? The Lord wants us to count Him able. He wants us to seek Him until His grace flows in our heart and in our life. And I know we'll feel our need of that. We're people. For in like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. We have a song in our hymnal, number 105, and it says there's power in the blood of Jesus. When I hear people speak that they want to take the blood out of the songs, out of the songbooks of today in modern America, and they want to cleanse the books of that gory word blood, they don't understand. There's power in the blood of Jesus. He shed His blood so that we could have what we have. See, before that it wasn't possible. The Jews had the law and it was to them condemnation, and so they constantly offered sacrifices. Kill my best lamb. Offer this thing up for my sins. And did it help them to really change their heart? No. Their heart was never really changed. But you know what? The Lord came to take the old stony heart out of us and put in us a heart of flesh, meaning a soft, responsive heart. A heart that's responsive to the Word of God, responsive to the Lord and to His will in our life. A heart that's humble. This song says there's power in the blood to save from sin, to bring the peace of God where guilt hath been. Folks, I believe in this. I want to say this. We don't want to stop until this happens in our life, until we have sought the Lord with all of our heart and He gives us peace in our heart and in our life. To bring the peace of God where guilt hath been, a new and happy life will then begin. There's power in the blood of Jesus. The refrain says there's power in the blood of Jesus. There's power in the blood of Jesus. To save the soul today, wash every sin away. There's power in the blood of Jesus. Verse 2 says there's power in the blood today, I see, as when He set the palsied sinner free. And now His saving grace extends to me. There's power in the blood of Jesus, exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. No righteousness of ours can e'er avail, but through the Lamb of God we shall prevail. There's power in His blood. All else will fail. There's power in the blood of Jesus. There's power in the blood for our release. There's power in the blood to bring soul peace. The merits of His blood will not decrease. There's power in the blood of Jesus. You know, in Acts, it talks about the apostles and it says, with great grace gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord, of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. With great power, He gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord. This has happened. People today are questioning, did the resurrection ever really happen? Is it just a story that was passed down? But we see here that they gave witness by the grace and the power that God was working through their lives. So this morning, let's ask the Lord to work in our lives. Lord, work in my life. I know I don't have much to offer. I found that out a long time ago. But you know what? The Lord has a lot to work through any vessel given to Him. I'll read one more verse in Matthew 28 and 18 to 20. Three verses. Matthew 28. Listen to the last words that Jesus gave them before He, some of the last words. Go ye therefore, in verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. You know that all power is given to the Lord? It's not to the devil. He can't make us do it. He can't take our peace. He can't take our life. He can't do anything that God doesn't let Him do. Not a thing. But Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, because of this, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And that's the way Matthew ends up. Do you know this morning, Jesus tells us to go, therefore. Go out on your job site. Go out to the world. If the Lord sends you to a foreign land, go there. And He'll go with you. He said, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Anywhere He sends us, anywhere that we are to be, in our home, He wants to be there too. And so He says, whatsoever I've commanded you, you teach them to observe these things. The Lord's teachings are very important. But He said, teaching them, them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. So we appreciate the Lord this morning. I know He took my life from a nominal religion to a life with the Lord. He changed that. I never dreamed. I never would have, in my furthest imagination, dreamed of ever teaching or preaching or anything like that. But you know what? The Lord wants to get in our life. And His power and His strong arm, He wants to change us today. The Lord bless each one of us. Let's hunt for it. Let's search for the Lord. He's there to be found. He's ready to be found. He wants to be found. And if we'll abide in that place, He'll put His words in our life. Not as nominal, but with power and strength. You pray for me.